Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants will have an open line throughout the duration of today's conference. To mute or unmute your phone, please press star then six. This conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now I'd like to turn the call over to Mr. Tom Wallace. Sir, you may begin.
All right, thank you. So welcome everyone to the call. My name is Tom Wallace. I'm the technical team lead for ClearQuest, ClearCase, BuildForge, and some of the integrations we have here at Rational. So the purpose of the call today is to just share some knowledge and experience and ask some questions you may have about CM Server, whether it's with ClearQuest or ClearCase. We do have a handful of developers on the line that are ready to provide a little bit of insight. We also have some of our support folks here to help out. So right now all lines are open, meaning if you say anything or type anything, we're going to hear it. So if you could please stay on mute, you can press star 6 to go on mute. And then if you do have a question, press star 6, speak, and we'll be able to hear you. So what we're going to do, too, if you have very technical questions, we may tell you that we want to open it up as a PMR and contact support. We'll give you as much information as we can. But this is more of sharing knowledge and experience. It's not a, a complete troubleshooting session. So don't take offense if we do say to open up a PMR. At this point, I will turn it over to Yuhong Yin. She is one of the developers for CM Server.
Hello, everyone. My name is Yuhong Yin. I'm a developer of the CM Server, as Thomas introduced. Once you upgrade to 7.1, or if you are in the process of considering upgrade to 7.1, so one of the new components you will see and with 7.1 is that there is something called CM Server. So what is a CM Server? CM Server stands for a Change Management Server. It's a common JWE server for both ClearCase and ClearQuest. It was built to better support ClearCase Remote Client and the ClearQuest Web. So some of you already have discussions with support and the developer on ClearQuest, and probably also on CCRC, ClearCase Remote Core. So today's focus is going to be on the API and on the server part of the call stack. So I just want to say a few words about, basically the design goals of CM Server. Why do we introduce CM Server? So CM Server is a component hosted by WebSphere, so WebSphere Application Server. So one thing you will get once you upgrade to 7.1 CM Server is that you will get a full WebSphere application server installed on your server machine. And, among other things is that we really want to leverage the WebSphere technology, leverage the security, performance, and the scalability that provided by WebSphere application server to better support a global distributed development environment. And also, as I mentioned earlier, this CM server is common for CC and CQ, so we want to consolidate both on the CC side and on the CQ side some of the admin cost. And by doing CM server, we also lifted some of the limitations for previous implementation of CCRC server and CQ web server. So that's probably it, and we're going to discuss any topics you would like us to discuss to you today. So I'm actually going to turn this call to Adina, who's going to introduce the CM API a little bit. And also Matt Lennon is also a lead for the CM API. He can also say a few words. Go ahead, Adina.
Hi, this is Adina Adler. I'm going to talk about the CM API, which is a unified Java API for accessing ClearCase and ClearQuest applications. The idea is that this way you don't need to use separate APIs for ClearCase and ClearQuest. You can just get at both of them through one API. On the ClearQuest side, currently, you can only access a local ClearQuest functions using a local installation. It's not yet ready for CM Server. This is all explained in detail in our documentation. There are also some samples and tutorials for writing your own application. Matt?
This is Matt Lennon. I'm the team lead for the ClearCase half of the CM API. As Adina said, it's a unified Java API for CC and CQ. Currently, for ClearCase, the API supports principally web views, and communicates with a CM server over HTTP. We don't currently have support for dynamic or snapshot views, but we're thinking about that. As Adina said, there is information in the IBM Info Center about the API, as well as sample code and tutorials. So if you all have any specific questions about either the CQ or the CC part of the API, we'll be happy to answer them for you.
I think we're going to go around the room for other developers to introduce themselves very quick. John?
Hi, this is John. I work on CM Server Team.
Hi, this is Rob Teitel. I work on CM API and some CM Server, mostly on the ClearCase side.
And we also have Knut on the phone. Knut, why don't you say a few words about yourself?
This is Knut Radhoff. I work on the CM Server part of the porting work of CM Server for the 7th release to the various Unix platforms.
We also have Doc McKinsey in the room, and so get your questions ready. We have quite a few folks to ready to answer any questions from you.
All right, so at this point, I think we want to open it up to any questions that anyone has. As Yuhang said, we have 7 developers on the phone and various people from the support team as well. So we just need one brave soul to be the first one to ask a question, and hopefully it flows from there.
Good afternoon. My name is Walter Dick. We are State Tax and Finance. My question is regard to the architecture is described as a common architecture. Did you have in mind to put both ClearQuest and ClearCase on the same machine? And if so, what machine did you do that on? And what types of tests did you do both at the 7.1 release and the 7.1.02 release?
So Fred, do you want to take that first?
I guess the question being, you hosting a CM server that hosts both ClearCase and ClearQuest?
Yes.
So the performance team is presently under task now to publish a white paper surrounding some of the recommendation and guidelines around hardware and configuration suggestions for a combined or unified ClearCase and ClearQuest CM server. So a CM server that would serve both Falcon clients for ClearQuest and also CCRC clients or CCRC integrated clients.
Right, and to follow up on that answer, I think that first of all the answer is yes. You can put on both CC and CQ on the same machine with one CM server hosting both CCRC and CQF. So that's by design, you can do that. And and we do have customer running in that configuration, and we do have performance and system level testing cover that. But so far for the existing customer, we see most of the customer, they actually separate their CQ and CCRC deployment. The reason being that, they had that configuration before. So they had a 7.0.1, like CQ web server. They upgrade that to a 7.1 7.1 CQ web server, or they have a machine that hosts the 7.01 CCRC, and they upgraded that to 7.11. So most of the customer we actually seen so far actually have a separate server to host CC and CQ web. But of course, you can put them together, and if you put them together, and if you're gonna support so many user, you do have to consider the machine configuration in terms of the memory, view, and operating system and all that. And but as Fred pointed out, we're gonna try to publish data. I think the data we published so far are for one a dedicated server for CCRC and a dedicated
CQF. I had a related question. This is Matt Ward from the Capital Group. We currently have a 7.0.1.1 IFIX02 infrastructure, and what we were considering was implementing the CM server and trying to connect some of the newer clients to an older infrastructure. Have you guys done much testing, or can you share any experiences with just putting a CM server in place and not upgrading the infrastructure to 7.1?
No. So basically, you can have a 7.1.1, for instance, CCRC client talk to a 7.0.1 CCRC server. That's not supported. But you also cannot have a 7.0.1 CCRC client talk to a 7.1 CM server. So basically, the upgrade from 7.0.1 in terms of the server and the client, you have to do it all at once. But on the CC side, you can you are very flexible in terms of whether you want to upgrade your WAP servers and all that at the same time. So you can have 7.0.1 WAP servers, for instance, but have a machine running a 7.1 CM server hosting 7.1 CCRC client.
Yeah, that's the scenario I was talking about. We would pretty much just leave all of our VOB servers and everything else on 7.0.1, and we would upgrade all the clients to new CCRC and CQ web through the CM server.
Yes, you can do that. Fred, you have something to see? Did I cut you off? Sorry about that.
Yeah, no, it's just to add, probably, from my perspective on the CC side, and I deal mostly with, ClearCase customers for CM Server and CCRC, that's probably the most popular approach now is for enterprises to leave their VOB servers, registry servers, et cetera, at 7.0.1, migrate CM Server to 7.1 to serve the CCRC clients, and then migrate traditional clients and servers, as they wish.
Hey, that's good to hear. Thank you.
Any other upgrade migration-related question?
Yeah, this is Srinivas Kaveti from Dell. We are currently running a ClearCase version 7.0.0.4, and we have 30 servers. If we want to plan to upgrade to 7.1, according to this time we cannot get the another server should be a CM server, which is a good approach. We have a registry and license server, view servers and WAP servers, where we can install a CM server on the server without having another extra server.
So first of all, go ahead.
So this is Fred. So what we've seen some customers take an approach, and just to level set, when we're talking about 7.1, presently 7.1.0.2 is the current shipping version. There's been some functionality and also some performance and some defect fixes in 7.1.0.2 that would really kind of recommend users, if you're considering 7.1, when we talk about 7.1 in general, we're really recommending probably 7.1.0.2 as the preferred version because of some features and some fixes.
Yeah, I can.
But what we what we've seen from a ClickA side is that we've seen some customers try to leverage existing servers to add CM server capability. For instance, install CM server on a registry server. And that's been with, you know, varied results at best. Well, our recommendation is, depending on your usage model, would be to have a dedicated server and really a CM server moving forward to be treated kind of as on par with, you know, a VueBob server being a dedicated machine. A lot of customers will prototype and start a CM server on their existing, you know, RWP server in the past, or installed CM server capabilities on a Vue server. But really, being a dedicated machine is kind of the direction, because the infrastructure comparing 7.1 to 7.0.1 is a little bit different. WAS and being an app server has a little bit more demand and has greater scalability, but the hardware kind of underneath it really is based upon that. So our recommendation would be a dedicated machine, but we understand hardware constraints, so it really depends on load and a lot of things, because saying you can just install it on a registry server, for instance, is difficult, because some people's registry servers are very, very busy.
Okay, like a bottom line, like you are not suggesting having like a CM server on any of the existing servers. We had to have like a CM server separate in a separate hardware.
Well, to take maximum benefit, that would be the recommendation. If you, you know, the understanding your usage model, for instance, mm-hmm. if you were to have five, you know, and I'm just using these numbers, this is Fred again, having five CCRC users is very different than having 50, 100, 250. So it really depends on the model, and at least the customers I've worked with, there are some customers that have used, for instance, a Vue server, because it's a robust machine, to start prototyping, you know, determining kind of, if you want to say, a pilot, and then move to a dedicated machine when the usage model kind of warrants it, et cetera. So, I mean, it's recommended to have a dedicated machine to take, you know, full advantage of some of the scalability and such.
I guess.
But
okay.
it really is tough to say, you know, in all use cases.
Thanks.
And another benefit, besides you do need to have another machine, is that your WAB servers can stay at 7.0.1, but your server can be run at 7.1 level.
Can you guys hear me?
Okay, can you repeat that, please? What can be run in 7.1 and what can be run in the old version?
What can be running 7.1 and what can be running the old version?
The CM server machine would be running 7.1, and you can use that in an environment where the rest of your ClearCase servers are running 7.0.
This is Fred. So there's a great matrix on the Info Center with 7.1 documentation. We can post a link to the forum after the call that kind of lists what, you know, cannot work, and also is compatible across different versions, both, you know, 7.0.1 at various levels, et cetera, and what the requirements are. So in general speaking, like Matt said, 7.1 for the CM server and 7.0.1x for other servers, but I'll post a link to the Info Center that has a great matrix on that.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
So this is Dave Felsine and Raj Kartikal from Avaya, and we have a couple of questions, so I'll let Raj start.
Hi, this is Raj. I had a question about the reliability of the WebViews. Are there any improvements in this release for the reliability of WebViews?
What version you're using now?
Right now we are using 7.0.1.
7.0.1?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And are you thinking to upgrade to 7.1.1? What kind of reliability problem you run into now?
We frequently run into these issues wherein there will be version discordance between the, you know, the database on the local system and on the web server, the Vue database.
The web Vue database?
Yeah.
Discordance of some kind? Or?
We frequently run into, you know, version discordance and also the databases not being in sync. We always need to keep doing this restore views.
So this is Fred. I guess version discordance, and this could be probably almost a separate topic, or definitely would be a PMR if you're experiencing version discordance that cannot be solved by a restore resource. So version discordance is something that can be seen for various reasons. Usually network interruptions or drop packets, et cetera, or various client-side applications we've seen that interfere with our manipulating of the copy areas, or, kind of, if you want to say, view space. So discordance is something that, depending on the condition, can be quite normal. It's really, discordance is the client doesn't, the client state of affairs does not agree with the server-side state of affairs, and how do you want to resolve that? So that's, so reliability or discordance can be something that probably, if you guys want to open a PMR, we could probably go into detail about why you're seeing discordance, when, and whether or not it's resolved with restore resource actions. So
the question was, are there any improvements in that area? Did you specifically target improvements in that area?
We are working on we are working on this, but when can we actually have a solution that satisfies your particular need? That that's kind of we can't really say that, but the discordance is one of the things we're actively working on.
Okay, so the second question is if we need to, we'll take that offline and open up a PMR and work through the support team on that.
So you're saying you're at 701. Are you planning to upgrade to 711?
Continue. So what we're doing is we're trying to upgrade our entire environment to 7102.
Yeah, 7102. Okay.
And one thing that's kind of discouraging on this call is I don't hear a lot of. I hear silos. I'm still hearing silos. I'm hearing most people talking about ClearCase, or they're talking about ClearQuest, but I don't hear a lot of individuals that are talking about both ClearCase and ClearQuest together. So I guess one question I would have in the eating your own dog food type question is, do you guys, you developers, I know that that IBM's philosophy is you guys have to eat your own dog food. Do you guys have a combined server? Can anybody say, yes, we do have a combined server? And are there, is there something you can say that would give me the comfort that combining these servers into a single server is the right thing to do? Because before I started this call, I kind of, that's where we were going, and now I'm getting a little nervous.
So I, as I mentioned earlier, it's perfectly fine. You have one server for both CCRC and CQ, but also this depending on how many users you want to support through one server, because after all, we're still kind of no matter what we do, we're still somewhat bind into the. The server, basically how much the server can do.
So I'm not worried about the performance aspects of it. We can certainly deal with the performance scalability and such. What I'm concerned about is more of the functionality aspects of it. When I hear people talking in silos, it makes me nervous. I hear somebody from IBM saying, I am the ClearQuest, ClearCase CM server guy, and I'm responsible for and we use both of them together all the time. That's how we set them all up all the time. Most of what I'm hearing is, most people have them separate. Most people keep them separate. So what can you tell me that gives me the comfort that functionality-wise, these are actually going to work together?
Well, actually, this is Fred. So, like I said, the majority of, I work in a support organization. The majority of my work, in fact, all of my work is dealing with customers and ClearCase remote client, and although that's a ClearCase, product name, the functionality in 7.1 for a integrated, case ClearQuest UCM model is starkly, I don't know how to use the word, very much improved from 7.1 to 7.01. So I've been dealing with, you know, integrated customers, ClearCase, ClearQuest customers, you know, in CCRC for a long time, and now with 7.1, the unity of the kind of customer experience or the end user experience is starkly improved compared to 7.01. The really integrated user would sit down and know, do we have parity as compared to the two native clients integrated on the desktop? Not 100%, but as far as an end user sitting down, for instance, in UCM and want to work in ClearKiss and ClearQuest, the user experience is much better. So I, although I work in, you know, a ClearCase line of support, you know, really we blend ClearCase, ClearQuest. I should have been a little bit more specific when I talked about CCRC. So moving towards the common client, which you have heard about probably at the user conference and everything, CCRC is a step in that direction.
Is there somebody on this call who can say, we use a single server for both?
Are you talking about a production environment?
Are you asking a customer or
anyone on the call?
Oh.
Is there anyone on the call who can say, we use a single CM server for our ClearCase and ClearQuest web access?
This is Jim Ring from Blue Cross Blue Shield of Minnesota, and I've set this up in test and played with it. I've set the server up in production and played with it just myself. I'm not ready to release it yet to the complete staff, but my intention is to have one Windows box that runs CCRC, CM Server, CQ Web, and then as we can migrate the developers off of ClearCase Explorer over to CCRC, that'll be our long-term migration plan. There's going to be a certain amount of pushback because of training and separate installs and so on from there. But the way that I'm going into this is I have a DNS entry with one URL that points to our 7.01 ClearQuest web, which I'll say is on server 3, and then I have a different DNS that points to CQ Web 7.1 on the CM server. We could change that DNS entry from server 3 over to the new server, and if they really beat it up and I need to, I can always change it back. So I've been working with it a little bit, but we're not really exercising it fully.
Okay.
Another thing I want to point, I don't know whether we have this customer on the call, but we recently have worked with a couple of customers hosting both CCRC and CQ Web, and you know, we have actually quite a few escalations related to that, but not on the performance or functionalities, on you know, domain specific like problems. But I do know, but I don't want to say their name. You know,
right.
Without their permission.
I'd like.
And I also want to point out there are customers, like even in house, we have some other reasons we don't want to host. You know, CQ Web and CC on the same machine is traditionally there. You know, there are customers also like us. We wanted to host CCRC on a Linux and a Unix machine, but because of the you know the for our CQ the hook code are all written in Visual Basic, so we can't really run them on a Unix machine. So sometimes there are other reasons we customer, including us, have some problem consolidating the server.
So at IBM, you guys have hundreds of these setups. I know that. So you know, it's just I'm surprised that I let me say it differently. Not I'm surprised. I like to hear from the vendor when they use the environment in the manner that they're publishing that we should use it.
Okay, that's well taken. That point is well taken.
And that's I'll conclude for now. Thank you.
Yuhang, that restriction that you mentioned about the hooks in Visual Basic not working over on Unix, will that ever be resolved?
Visual Basic will never run on Unix. There are customers, they really want to use Linux, for instance, so they spend the effort converting their Visual Basic to Perl script.
the long term, IBM rationally has no plans in getting around that.
We can never get Visual Basic to run on Unix. No.
Okay.
If your choice is right at the very beginning, you should choose Perl.
Yeah, Perl is the cross platform answer.
Well, if only I could go back 10 years and before I was here. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, but unfortunately, we can't make that happen.
Talk to Bill Gates.
A Visual Basic to Perl in about a week once, a fairly robust schema in about a week once. It is well worth the migration.
I know.
Hello, so I have a question about 7.1 request. Currently, I am looking into the upgrade from 7.0.1.4 to 7.1 for CleQuest, and there is a bug in CleQuest that's preventing us from upgrading. The bug is about upgrading of the user database, and because my company has a large number of users, this bug, the bug number is PK85263, is preventing us to move to 7.1, and I would just like to know when is this bug is going to be fixed in 7.1.
Can you maybe add a few words to describe what's the situation? You upgrading your schema or you upgrading your server?
When we use the user administration tool, when we make a modification, for example, adding of a user, we are not able to upgrade these when we practically commit to changes using 7.1.0.2. So the bug number again is PK85263.
Thomas, can you take an action item to follow up on that? We don't have any context at this point.
So I'm just pulling the record up now, and it looks like it is 2009C, which I believe is going out the door, or may have already gone out the door this week, correct?
That's 2009C of 7.0.1, right? 7.0 release, not 7.1. So you're still on 7.0.
Right.
I currently have a machine running 7.0.1.1 temporary just to get around this problem of user administration tool. And all of my other production machine is on 7.0.1.4, and we are planning to upgrade to 7.1.0.2.
Okay, so if you're looking to move to 7.1.x, this fix is currently scheduled for 7.1.1, which is released in the fourth quarter, tentatively, this year. If this is something that's, you know, majorly impacting your upgrade and, you know, you want to see if you can get something more quickly, we can't promise anything, but your best bet, get in touch with me. This is Tom. And we can take a look to see if there's any way that we can help you get to where you want to be sooner than later.
Hi, this is Veronica from ADP. I was just told that that was supposed to be released end of third quarter. Now it's been dropped to fourth quarter.
Let me, I'm double-checking on dates right now. So yeah, I'm hearing end of November is the answer that I'm getting right now.
That's the one I heard earlier this week. Because there's a fix in there that we need in order to put it 7.1 up.
Okay. So, Veronica, if you want to get in touch with me again, this is Tom. You know, we can take this offline and talk about it a bit more. I don't know if everyone here has my email. I know with the ClearQuest one we had last week, Most people have my emails either from a spam email I sent to a bunch of people or from the web DevelopWorks posting. So if you don't have it, I can give it to you now. Otherwise, send me an email and we can
see
what our options. Okay. So for everyone, my email is twalles@us.ibm.com.
Okay.
So this is Trish Easton from the Boeing Company. I have a couple of questions on CM Server.
Okay.
One of the questions that we have is, according to the documentation that we're reading about, we're seeing that CM Server needs, 4 to 8 gigabytes of RAM on the machine. Is that really true?
Yes.
This is Fred. So the minimum requirements or the minimum specs for a CM server, dedicated CM server, is 8 gigs. And although it will, we've had obviously it run lower than 8 gigs for optimum performance, we're recommending 8 gigs as the minimum spec.
So if we combine the CC CM server and the CQ CM server, is 8 gigs going to be enough?
That's where we've kind of, as we were mentioning earlier, it really depends on use case. So what for a dedicated server running ClearCase or ClearQuest, 8 gigs would be the minimum requirement. But what you could do is probably could open up a PMR or we could follow up with you and see what that load is. Because just saying everything on one machine, what that means for use cases, is tough to say, but 8 would be the starting point for optimum performance.
How many CCRC user and a CQ web user you are planning to support on this machine?
A lot. I'm not sure of the total number. Jim Alvashir from the ClearQuest side of the house is on the line. He could speak to the ClearQuest users, but we have thousands of CCRC users.
So, on the ClearQuest side, we're now using 4 different servers, actually 5 different servers, and we have well over 1,000 user active users.
Right, so if your user range is around 1,000, even if you're going to combine CCRC server and a CQ web server, you're still going to use a few machines with a load balancer. So 7.1 CM server for CQ web and CCRC, we support load balancing. You can find a web paper on that.
Now, I've been reading that load balancing. It's totally different from what it was in 7.0, right?
When you say it's totally different, what do you mean by that?
Well, I was reading this morning, we have to load something called balancer at install time and then configure it on 7.1, right?
No, you don't. So, when you install CM Server, so one of the components we also installed for you is what we call IBM HTTP Server, IHS. So you can use IHS as a load balancer, and we have a tech note published for both CCRC and CQ Web. So for CQ Web, even for 7.0 CQ Web, you can use IHS as a load balancer. But load balancing is not supported for 7.0 CCRC at all. So that's a new capability we added for CCRC starting 7.1.0.2.
Okay. I guess what I meant, in 7.0, we had we hooked our servers together and used the config file for kind of a pseudo load balancing.
So the configuration might be a little bit different, but the out-of-box solution is to use IHS. You can choose other load balancing solution. We also published a web paper on using a WebSphere edge server.
Okay, I saw that one. What would the tech note be on IHS load balancing? Do you have it? Anybody have it handy?
I have it.
This is Fred. I'll post it up to the to the form as well.
Okay, so then you take that.
I have one more question again. This is Dave Felsine from Avaya. I hear a lot of white papers and tech notes. Is there a single place, like a user's administrator's guide, where all of this information is nice and neatly contained?
So one of the articles we submitted to IBM Developer Work is all the work, performance, reliability, scalability work we did for 702. As appendix, we included the important tech notes, the one we you know, like CM server guideline, you know, the load balancing, all that, in that particular article. But you know, if you think it's going to be helpful, we can also have Fred to send you all the ones we pretty much keep an eye on.
I just kind of like users' guides, you know, administrators' guides. I like.
So the problem is that the information we published in the info center, the real admin, you know, guide, they don't get modified that frequently. They're not getting modified as we want them to be. So we don't know what's the right mechanism.
So you guys released the documentation on the line, right? So that the mechanism that I would prefer is that the documentation gets updated in a timely fashion. Now, of course, we will go ahead and grab the tech notes, and I'll make sure my folks are on that, and they're reading through all these tech notes. But it's a whole lot easier for your user community if you have a user's administrator's guide. And we can all just go to that administrator's guide, and the latest information's there in one spot instead of having to be looking all over the place.
Yeah, but meanwhile, I'll send you the a list of tech notes through Fred to all of you guys.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and just some feedback. This is Fred. You know, when you go up to the info center, if there are things that are missing from that info center, which would probably be the closest thing to an admin or user's guide, all wrapped together, then definitely please give the feedback on the info center as well, because I know that's a great mechanism that's got a little bit more acceleration to get things corrected, etc.
Yeah, this is Narayanan Puti. I work with the Department of Labor project. I have a question on the CM server for CCRC.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so we're using CM server for CCRC that's installed on a Solaris and Sun CM server. And our CM server for the ClearQuest is actually on a different server on the Windows. But on this CM server for CCRC, we have a lot of users who have created views. And I believe the view storage directory is getting created on the machine where the CM server is installed. So is it possible to customize the path for this view storage location? Right,
so
everything is getting created at the var ADM subfolder.
Yep, so this is Fred. So for 7.1 CM server, there is a configuration that can be set up. The default is to run with the same, obviously, local view storage, but remote view storage on something like a NAS device, et cetera, is supported in 7.1, and that can be configured on the server to change to the path relative to that CM server where you want to have view storage.
Oh, okay. So I couldn't find the documentation in the CM server documentation at the info center. Is that something I can...
This information is in the info center. So
So all the settings before were in a flat kind of config text file. So now with CM Server being an application on WAS, there are values as M being values. So there's a whole section on the info center as far as setting M beans, what the M beans are and stuff. And I'll post that link up there because that's probably a good one to bookmark. But that's in the info center, in the documentation about how to set those, et cetera.
Oh, okay.
There's also the admin GUI that we release in 7.102.
Right. So, a follow-up a point on what Fred just mentioned. Basically, the CM server is still going to be your view server. but your view storage area can be on a shared location. And that particular feature is what enables the CCRC load balancing. So you can find more information in the info center. This one I checked, it's there.
Oh, okay.
This is Galen Olig with Avaya. We have been using symbolic links in CCRC 7.0 to sort of implement some of what was described. I noticed when installing a test 7.1 server, I noticed some weirdness with the updates. So I guess my question would be, if I have web views or the storage area for web views in some place other than /var/adm/atria/ccweb, do I have to do anything to update those views when I install 7.1?
So one thing is that the upgrade may destroy the same link you created. I don't know. I'm not sure for that. You may have to recreate the same link. Another thing is that once you upgraded to 7.1, and the views, the existing 7.0 views, you have to, if you really really want to use them, there are additional steps you have to do to convert them, upgrade those views, to be a 7.1 kind of view, because we changed the copy area format.
Yes. Does that happen when you upgrade the server or when the clients do the upgrade?
So that's a CCRC client action.
Okay, so I guess that was my biggest concern, whether there was any conversions happening during the server upgrade. So if I get the existing views storage areas in a spot where ClearCase, where 7.1 knows about them, when the users go and update their views, they will get they'll get the conversions they need.
Yes.
Okay.
Basically, the user has to first change the URL, because from 7.0 to 7.1, the server URL also changed. They change the URL. They have to. There is a particular action. I think it's called update view copy area or something like that. You have to do to use the view. But based on our own experience, I think it's a lot more easier if the user can just check in their work, get rid of the old view and start a new view. That's actually much simpler.
Okay, we'll keep that in mind.
I think we're going to need some very solid documentation on how to upgrade those views, because I know within my environment at Sears, we have hundreds of CCRC views, and developers don't want to recreate them all.
So I think this is Fred. So I think from a CCRC perspective, from a client, once the client connects to, once the 7.1 client connects, there is a workspace registry file, which is basically just a text file of where those views live on the client. And when you connect to a 7.1 server, you'll get a little visual indication that the copy area, and you really can't use them until you update the copy area or upgrade the copy area. And at least from my working with customers, the only issues we've run into have been typically things where server's no longer available, that path to the copy area has been broken. The update, depending on the size of the view, could be time consuming if it's thousands of directories, et cetera. But it's fairly straightforward, and I think it's documented. But I'd be curious if people are not getting that visual indication, or if it's challenging to the users, because it pretty much is straightforward. You're alerted that it has to be upgraded, and then the button to upgrade, and it's pretty much a one-step process. It is something that can't be reversed, so you can't return back. And like Yuhong did mention, a lot of customers, I've seen customers upgrade, and I've also seen customers just create views depending on what they need. Really, a web view is, provided it, resolve their checkouts, et cetera, really is just a copy of the repository at that time. So it's really not as heavyweight as something like a traditional dynamic view, let's say.
Yeah, this is Matt from Capital Group again. I had an unrelated question. We're starting to migrate a lot of our Solaris environments to zones. Any thoughts or comments on how well this works in a zoned environment? Anything to be aware of?
Nothing specific. We've been running in zone free zone environment during our own development as a self-hosting server, and we're not aware of any specific problems in using zones. You can also do a load balancing among the CM servers hosted by these zones.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, this is Srinivas Kavati again. I have a question regarding using CM server with a CCRC. Can I give access to other than domain users? We have a lot of ODM development is going on. Our partners want to have access for the outside from my domain. Is it a best way we can provide the access for the CCRC views? They can have access.
So this is Fred. So the same rules apply for CM servers they do with CCRC. So the operating system identities on the server side are what controls, obviously, VBOB access. So if you're running in a Windows domain environment as your authentication, a user would still need some type of username and login to access that access that server.
Okay, they have to have a VPN, and they have to come through VPN, or they can have a secure access through web.
Well, since we're communicating over HTTP or HTTPS, it's really up to the company's discretion if you want to make that publicly available on the internet, or if you want to have it come through some tunnel. Basically, however they can, communicate over HTTP or HTTPS into your environment is really open. So one nice thing, and this was present in 701, is that you can set up region mapping so that if you have contractors or third-party vendors, they can access your CM server, but they would only access the repository that you deem, kind of visible. And you can have, repositories that have proprietary information, et cetera, not be seen. So that's something that's a little bit different than the traditional ClickCase client out of the box. But however you communicate over HTTP, so, think of it like a traditional web application. As long as that port can be opened and tunneled through, then CM server is accessible.
Yeah, what is the, best port that, we can choose, regarding configuration of a TCP/IP thing, our IT persons ask, okay, how many ports we can open? Is it the range? If I have 10 outsiders, 10 partners wants to access my data through HTTPS, using CCRC. What are the port numbers?
That would just be a single port. So they'd all come over port 80 or 81 or 443, depending on HTTPS. But all users would come through that port. As far as the ports, you can think of the CM server from a ClickCase perspective as a view server. So the same rules apply from CM server to other, VOB registry license, et cetera. But as far as from a client perspective, only a single port is required. So that can be controlled at install time. If you can't use 80 and you need to use something else, or if you need SSL, that's entirely configurable.
Do you have any configuration documents on this one? Because we need badly on this.
I don't know if there's... I know there's various things how to configure SSL, et cetera. If you want, probably if you wanted to, we could probably leverage the developer works forum if you wanted, and if you wanted to just kind of pose your questions there, and we can kind of discuss, or if you want to open a PMR. There's various documentation about how to, you know, configure SSL, et cetera. Usually out of the box port 80, you know, will just, you know, is the default port for most platforms, or 81. I'm not sure if we have anything, you know, specifically other than that, but we can definitely talk about that. So if you have an IT group in your organization that's got questions or concerns, we could always, you know, answer them or help you work with them.
Okay.
So SSO, single sign-on, have we done anything to improve the documentation? I believe that it's now working in the 7.102 release. Is it documented yet? Do we... We've been struggling with documentation on how to get that up and running.
So single sign-on is working. I'm not sure if...
For clear.
John. So I'm not sure if you've had problems with the single sign-on is really, you know... a cache sign-on. So from a CCRC client, you have the ability to log into CM server, depending on your needs for if you're using something like UCM-enabled or ClickQuest-enabled UCM. Depending on how you access the use cases accessing it, then you'd then be prompted for a ClickQuest account. You provide that once, and then for that session, if your password is the same, then you would be, you know, kind of re-required for authentication.
Okay. So so you're saying that there is nothing aside from the normal setup. Well, no, that's not single sign-on, actually. That's cached. So what I'm actually referring to is single sign-on. We've seen tech notes that say single sign-on is working, and we've seen tech notes that say it's not working, and we've been told that it's working, and we've been told that it's not working. So I'd like to get a straight scoop on single sign-on.
Hi, this is John. For 7.1, single sign-on is not working at this point.
Okay.
It's working for 7.01, but not for 7.1.
Okay. And do we have a PMR that we can be added to be notified when that is working?
Yes, there's a PMR.
Okay. So we'll get added to the PMR. Thank you.
This is Tom. Just shoot me an email, and I'll make sure you get on that immediately.
This is Sandy from Avaya. Dave, we are on that PMR already.
Okay. All right. Thanks, guys. Sorry about that.
So if there are other questions, feel free. We actually did extend the time the other day to this to 3:30. So I know the meeting original posted 3 o'clock, or depending on your time zone right now. But if you have other questions, we can keep going with this. If not, if I hear a couple minutes of silence, we can wrap it up.
This is Jeff Hunter from Aetna. Wondering, is there a way to construct a standard J2EE ear file for the server parts and deploy it as an ear file to a WAS environment?
Are you asking if you can take our ear file and put it into your own WAS environment?
Yeah, do you supply an ear file? I'm looking, I haven't messed around with it that much.
Yeah, so we supply an ear file. You can take that ear file and put it into your own WAS infrastructure.
Yeah, this is Fred. There's documentation on that. Now I'll throw that up to the forum after the call as well. But there is a whole section of documentation of deploying CM server into an existing WAS infrastructure.
Okay, thank you.
So this is Alex Ng from Microtel Lucent. I have a question about another PML or bug that we have. It's about our Oracle RAG server driver. The version that was shipped out was 7.013. and as well as 7.1 still does not support transaction, actually transparent application failover. It only supports a failover after a restart. What we wanted is a failover so that we don't, the administrator doesn't have to go and restart the registry server and the WAS server. Do you know when is that going to be available from Data Direct Tracker?
I think we're going to have to get back to you on that one. The current thought is this is not supported yet by DataDirect, but we can definitely dig around a little bit for you. So if you want to shoot me an email, I can get you in the right hands for that one.
Okay. We have already spoken with Wendy Page on this particular problem, but I can certainly send you another separate email. So are you Tom?
Yes, Tom. All right. So, yeah, send me that, and I can check in with Wendy and make sure everything's set up to move this forward.
Okay.
Tom, this is Paula Jordan from Sears.
Hey, Paula.
I'm very concerned about the earlier comment on CM server requiring 8 meg of RAM.
Gig?
I'm sorry, I misspoke. Is that true for Windows?
This is Fred. So what that requirement is really our guideline. Our guidelines are our minimum spec from what we've seen working with customers and the recommendation for optimal performance. There's various technical reasons around that, depending on some versions, even on Windows. You know, if you look at something like Windows 2003 standard server and some things like that, as far as running with less than 8 gigs. But with 7.102, there's some, and depending on case in question, if you're using 7.1, there's some load balancing options to help kind of distribute that.
We're currently running 7.102 on our web servers, and we do have an open PMR because we have been hitting 100% CPU. And I'm wondering if it's related to that because we do only have 4 gig of RAM.
So, Paula, just for everyone's clarification, do you want to give an idea how many servers you have and approximately how many users?
I'm currently running 9 Windows servers. 8 of them are running the CM server process, and we have probably 400 to 500 concurrent users on the Windows environment using CQ Web.
500 against one server?
Yeah. 8 servers.
8 servers through load balancer.
Yeah, we have a Cisco load balancer up front. But again, I'm very concerned because we have 8 servers that have 4 gig of RAM, and now I'm hearing we need 8.
Thomas, do you have the PMR number she was referring to?
I don't have it in front of me, but I do have a list of all of their PMRs. Yuhong, I can get that over to you.
And you're seeing the CPU problems on pretty much all the servers, all the 8 servers, or some of the servers?
Some.
And the configuration for these servers are pretty much identical?
They are identical.
Just a shimmering. The one time that I saw the CPU hit a 100% was when I had McAfee on. Should McAfee be installed on the CM server, or should it definitely not be installed?
McAfee, that's the virus.
Well, I know for CCRC, our recommendations, and I think they've been published, is that at least for CCRC clients in copy areas, not to be running scanning, but we've also seen different versions of McAfee with traditional ClearCase UVob servers, have challenges, et cetera, depending on versions. So there's a couple of tech notes on specific versions of servers, but that real-time scanning sometimes, especially on the client side, has caused some issues. As far as CM Server, I don't know if there's anything published, it should be treated like any traditional ClickCase server from a CCRC side. On CQ, I'm not sure if there's any such challenges.
So how frequently is the scanning? So that could make the CPU very busy, but I don't have an idea on how they run, what's the frequency they run.
Yeah,
but I think as long as you have a PMR, we can work on this issue through the PMR.
Agreed, and we hadn't looked at virus scanning software as part of this issue at all yet.
Okay.
Paul, I can get in touch with you on this one. Just make sure that we know what we're doing and move it offline. Any other questions out there or comments out there?
I have one follow-up question on the CPU busy one. So how many CPUs do you have per machine? You said you have 4 gig. That's for memory. How about the CPU?
It's 2 dual core, so it's in essence 4 CPU.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, anyone else have any other input or questions? All right, I think at this point we can wrap up the call. So I just want to say thank you for everyone for participating.